trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
Last week, we talked about Pentecost Sunday, as it was on the church calendar, the day that the church remembers and celebrates the fulfilled promise of Jesus, as he spoke in many places of the Holy Spirit, this gift that God was going to send, the paraclete, as the Greek word is, that means counselor, comforter, and that he was going to do so much. This was a new covenant blessing that to this point in humanity was unknown. The Holy Spirit would indwell us and rest with us and upon us and move among us. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that there would be a power when the Holy Spirit came upon you to be his witnesses, his representatives, his ambassadors to the whole world. So there's this incredible supernatural reality that Jesus is saying, when you follow me, in this new thing that he's doing, this new work, this new covenant, where the kingdom of God is at hand, and through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the presence of God, the living, active, vibrant presence of God is going to be in us and among us and upon us and baptize us so that we can truly represent Jesus to the world. So the Holy Spirit being this, and we can't take lightly, supernatural connection between us and God. And I love it so much. I love the challenge of the Holy Spirit. I love how it challenges me that following Christ cannot be something that I can do on my own strength. It cannot be something that fits into just a set of beliefs and traditions and practices. I can do a lot of those things like many other religions. I could do that all on my own strength. If it's just these ideas, okay, I can kind of agree with these ideas and I can go through the motions of some traditions and practices. I could do all that without the Spirit. I could. Or I could be challenged by Jesus to say that I'm going to send my Holy Spirit in such a way that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to come upon you in a way where he's going to do things in you that are truly supernatural, to where you're looking back at your life and you're like, oh, whoa, I couldn't do that on my strength. No, that's not possible. I'm stepping into something that is truly supernatural. It is not explainable on human terms. It's not possible on human strength. And I love that. I love that God's word shows us, reveals that God wants to be so present and real and interactive. And I kind of said it last week that he does so much where it's like, it's not even like, it doesn't, to me, I don't even connect anymore with like, it's not like, do you believe in God? Like, that almost doesn't even make sense. When the Holy Spirit has done so much undeniable work in your life, it's like, believe, well, it's kind of like, we're like way beyond that in the sense of like, do I believe God exists? Like, that's almost a dumb question, because it's like, he's made himself so real. That's like, that doesn't, I mean, even compute. Like, he's the realest person I know. And are there areas that my faith are stretched and I've got to be like, wow, I believe, help my unbelief. Yes, absolutely. But it's also so beautiful that God just wants to be so real through his Holy Spirit that it becomes like undeniable. This is a relationship with the living God. And I want to go and continue to dig this morning on that theme where Jesus has just got this incredible news. And we looked at last week in Acts 2, that Pentecost Sunday, where for the first time the Holy Spirit fell and baptized the believers and filled them up in a way that was new. And some people call that the birth of the church because of that. And that was awesome. And continuing in that, I want to take us to Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. And the point of where we're going to go next is where we landed last week, which was we want to stay ever-present hungry for the Holy Spirit. That is incredible as it is to have the Holy Spirit in our life. And no matter how dramatic of an encounter or undramatic of an encounter you had, if you've had the Holy Spirit in your life and you know that it's not a one-time thing, but rather there's a posture of heart that the New Testament encourages us to have. It's simply that childlike hunger where we say, I just want more and more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And Acts 4, 29 to 31 kind of models that well. Where the believers, this is John and Peter, who were put in jail for a night or for a few, I can't remember exactly, but they were beaten, they were put in jail, they were brought before the religious leaders, they were threatened, stop talking about Jesus. And they go back and they rejoice with the church. They rejoice that, wow, we were doing such real battle for this kingdom to be advanced that we faced opposition. That's awesome. And then they prayed, Lord, make us even more bold. This is crazy. So check it out. Verse 29, 31. And now, Lord, and so they're in a prayer here. It's a prayer recorded. Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. I mean, what? Have you ever been persecuted? Genuinely, not because you've been a bozo. I've been persecuted because I've been a bozo. So we're not going to count those ones. But genuinely, where in authentic love and compassion, you spoke the truth or you embodied something genuine about who God is, and you genuinely got spiritual opposition to it. Is your response, man, that was great, Lord. Would you make me more bold for next time? That's what they're praying. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. It's a great thing to see. Now, this is Peter, this is John. I mean, this is Peter who is at Pentecost, leading the charge, explaining to everyone who's looking on that this is a prophecy that is now fulfilled from Joel chapter 2, where in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So God has clearly already poured out his Holy Spirit, and yet they're praying for more boldness, Lord, more signs, more wonders, more healing. And then it goes and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's just a beautiful picture of they're hungry for more. Because you could look at it and say, I thought they were already filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, two chapters ago. Yes. And yes. And so what it just tells us is, even if you're Peter and John and you've just been baptized by the Holy Spirit and filled up for the very first time, there is a model here, a template for us to say, stay childlike, stay humble, stay hungry, and say, Lord, for the rest of my life, I want more of your Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. Well, now I've got it all. It's a posture in this new covenant of what's available, as Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit is now going to be available in a way that never was. So Holy Spirit, more of you in my life. Even if you're already doing signs and wonders and miracles and preaching with boldness before people that takes you to prison, there's still more. And I love it. It's just that childlike heart that just says, God, for the rest of my life, help me be hungry for more of the Holy Spirit, that you would fill me and that you'd fill me again. And it leads us to this reality that there's just always more. no matter how much of the Holy Spirit we've encountered, there's always more. Jesus said it like this, shockingly. John 3:34, when he's talking about his ministry and what he does and is going to do, there's this little phrase that is just this golden nugget of awesomeness. Jesus is talking about himself, and he says that he is going to give and gives the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without measure. Meaning there's always more. No matter the measure of the Holy Spirit that you have encountered, you haven't hit the fullness. And there is more, and Jesus is willing and desiring and enjoying to give it. And so there's the question comes, if Jesus is desiring to give the Spirit without measure or in increasing measure, how come at times, or how come our lives don't look more like the supernatural power of God that we see in Peter and in John? I mean, they're doing stuff that's amazing. They've got a boldness. They're preaching before whoever will hear it. They're getting in trouble. They're getting in jail. They're getting beaten. Signs and wonders are following them, demonstrating, man, the Holy Spirit is with them. And then they go home and they say, and we want more. We need more. We need more. And I want to share with us this morning a physics formula. And pardon the word formula, because God is not a formula. But I am a big believer that God's truth can be found all over creation. That there's more and more science is revealing the glory of God. As his word says, creation shouts the glory of God. Well, science is study of his creation. So I think God's truths are in like secret little undercover ways, hidden all over the place. And we often have to be discerning and back everything in his word. But this is one of those things. It was introduced to me by Mike Breen, who is a very dear, dear mentor. And he's addressing this question of how come if Jesus wants to and does give the Spirit without measure, and there's opportunity to say, you know, thank you for filling me, fill me more, how come we don't see more supernatural power in our life? And he uses this physics formula for power. And it's very interesting. I think it's very biblical. So let me share it, and then we're gonna get into scripture to see where I think this is one of those undercover hidden nuggets that are out there, and God's word confirms it. In physics, there's actually a number of different equations for power, but the one that he shared with me, and you might want to write it down. I apologize. I should have had a little graph up there. But if you go back to high school physics class, power, it's just very simple. P equals V over R, or V squared over R, actually. So one way to measure power, P equals V squared over R, and that's power equals voltage squared divided by the resistance. And so Mike was sharing with me one time his take on supernatural power and how, to the degree we see it manifest in our lives. So there's the P, equals voltage, which is God gives the Holy Spirit without measure and increasing measure. So there's God's part, and then our part is the R, resistance. But think about it. How much supernatural power are you going to see in your life? God's going to give the Spirit without measure. And depending on the level of your resistance is going to equal the output of power. I think it works. I think it really does. Jesus is going to give the voltage without measure. He's going to say, I'm going to fill you and then get hungry to be filled for more. And really, all you got to do is look for those ways in which you can say, God, get rid of me the resistance that doesn't want this. Because isn't there a truth that in some ways inside of us there's resistance? I'm uncomfortable. You ever said that? I'm uncomfortable right now, God. Or maybe you haven't said it. You felt it. You've heard something that God can do. You've heard a testimony of someone else and God doing something in their life. Have you ever felt, I'm uncomfortable? Might that be R for resistance? What about, ooh, that's new. That's new. That's new. And I'm wise and cautious, so that's new. Might that be R for resistance? What about just the straight up, that's weird? We'll just say that's resistance, right? And I am not in any way saying that when it comes to seeking God and seeking His Spirit, we throw out our brain and don't make sure everything's backed up in scriptures and don't make sure we're asking good questions. What I'm talking about, we should do all that. And I spend a lot of time doing that. Got to get into God's Word. You got to dig in. You got to know what it says. I'm talking about the posture of our heart, the posture of our spirit. And I can tell and testify from my life to the degree that I'm resistant. And God shows me that. These things of, you know, this is new or this is uncomfortable or that's weird or I don't know about that. What God has shown me for my life is that's resistance. And it does. It decreases the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not God at that point. It's not God saying, well, too bad. You're not Peter, you're not John, so you don't have the Holy Spirit available. Wrong. I mean, John 14, 12 says, anyone who believes in me will do the very works that I do. And he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. And as Romans 8 says, we have the same Holy Spirit that raised us from the dead. We didn't get a counterfeit. We didn't get a second tier. It's the same one that was in, upon, and around Jesus so that he could do his works of bringing heaven to earth. I mean, that's a shocking reality, but that is straight out of the Bible, that same Holy Spirit is with us and available to us, to be like John and Peter, who say, fill me more, Lord. And so I have definitely seen in my life, there's that resistance. If I'm honest, of like, I don't know if I want that yet. And there's part of that. There's an okay aspect to that, I would say. There's a healthy journey to go on. Where God is very patient and he's very gracious. As we sung this morning and Rye pointed out, he loves when we come right where we're at. We don't try to fake it. We don't try to be pretending we're somebody we're not. So he'll be very gracious on the journey. But my encouragement is to allow that journey to take place where you would pursue things in a way where you say, God, would you show me if I'm resisting your spirit? Or show me specific ways that I'm resisting? Because I am convinced in the long term that is cutting or dividing the power, the voltage of the Spirit. Let's see a couple examples. In Acts 7:51, Stephen, very famous sermon, is coming, is preaching a sermon to a group of his Jewish brothers, spiritual leaders. And for time's sake, we're going to cut to the chase, but in Acts 7:51, his summary, he's frustrated at the end. He's preached a great sermon, and he can tell that they're not into it. And so he just, in holy frustration, says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And what he's talking about, a little context here, is they couldn't get over that Jesus, if he was the Messiah, didn't bring the people back and restore the glory of temple worship. And instead, the crazy thing that Jesus did that was so offensive is that he effectively made every believer a temple. That Jesus didn't radically affirm that the location of worship or the location of God was in the temple, as it was in the Old Covenant, where behind the Holy of Holies, that was the ultimate location, if you will, of the presence of God. And so for the veil to be torn and the location, if you will, of God's presence to now be out of the temple and in every believer housed, if you will, within the heart and the spirit of every believer, that was, whoa, how, no way. But what's interesting is Stephen quotes in the sermon, and I'd encourage you to read it, it's a powerful one. He quotes, this is Acts chapter 7, he quotes a bunch of Old Testament, Old Covenant texts that say his very point. Old Testament texts that say God is not housed in a house. And yet there is obviously a priority given to temple worship. God set that up as well. But so Stephen's trying to work with them to say, yeah, that was a foretaste. There was a shadow of things to come. But God doesn't ultimately live in a house. He wants to live in every single one of us. And to those listeners, that was just too much. Even though their own scriptures said it as well, they were stuck in the traditions. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 15:6. For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. For the sake of your tradition, you have made void this new work of God, this new move of his spirit. And Stephen's saying the same thing. Stiff-necked, you resist the Holy Spirit for the sake of traditions. And that's a powerful, powerful picture. That we don't, let's be, you know, humble enough to say, well, that's not just their problem. But to say, before the Lord, is there a way, God, that I'm resisting a work of your spirit because of my traditions? Are my traditions getting in the way? Are they resistance to the work of your Holy Spirit? And again, everything must be confirmed and affirmed and line up with the Word of God. But that's just a human nature reality, that when we get going in traditions, we get doing things for a while, we kind of, you know, here's the box that's comfortable, and I've kind of found a sweet spot, and I'm gonna stay here. And Stephen and Jesus had some hard words for that, saying, man, you're resisting the Spirit of God, or you're making his word void. I thought it was impossible for God's word to be void. Doesn't it say that somewhere in the Bible? God's word never returns void. That sounds like ultimate power. God's words never return void. Unless we resist it with tradition. That's what Jesus said. Your traditions have made what God's word says is irresistible, all powerful. Your traditions have resisted it. To the point it's void. That means no power in their life. Now, ultimately, does it have no power? No, it's this equation. It's the power that you're experiencing, the P that you're experiencing in your life. The voltage is almighty. You've resisted to the point it's been made null and void. And I take that as a healthy challenge of, am I resisting through this box of comfortable, this box of tradition, versus God, make me that childlike posture where I don't define who you are. Where I don't get to say, here's your box, Lord, and no more. Here's your circle, Lord, and no more. That's a healthy challenge, I believe, for us to wanting to say, I want more of that big P. Lord, what in me is resisting you? Are there comfortable traditions that are keeping me from being open and hungry to say, more of your spirit, more of your spirit, blow me away, God. More of your spirit, above and beyond what I can ask or imagine. And of course, it will line up with God's word, but it might be uncomfortable. Or another way, 1 Timothy 4:14, where we can bring that unintended R, the resistance. Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect the gift of the Spirit that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. That's a beautiful moment. We love prophetic words when we get to have that privilege of being around a person and hearing straight from the heart of the Father something God wants to awaken in a beloved brother or sister, and we get the opportunity, we get the privilege to kind of be a conduit in that moment, a translator, if you will, and be able to share good news that lifts up, builds up, and comforts about something God wants to do in a person's life. In this case, that's exactly what's happening, and God, through prophetic words in the church, told Timothy, here's some of your gifting. Here's some of how God has made you and wired you and gifted you to represent Jesus in the world. We've done that a lot. It's awesome. It's so much fun to be a part of. And yet, that can be neglected. It's fascinating. God's word says the gifts and call on a life are irrevocable, but they can also be neglected. And if you want the big P, neglect is not a good stewardship. I mean, think about our lives. Take it, you can take it out of a spiritual gift. Or take it into just, does anything grow well that's neglected? When you ignore something that's alive, you ignore it, is it going to be vibrant and powerful and fruitful? No. Constant attention. Goodness gracious, my children, it's like, could you just eat one meal a day, please? Like, I would be such a happier person. We just cooked, we just cleaned, and you're hungry again. Lord, I don't question your creation, but come on, like two meals a day. But gosh, if I neglect them, it's not good. They whine because they're hungry again. Sorry, I don't have no idea where that came from. Other than my real life. Just wanted to come out right now. But think about that. Think about your mind. Think about your relationships. Think about your physical body. Think about the gifts that you have. There's so much potential, right, in us to be strong, healthy, vibrant, powerful in our mind, in our body, in our relationships. In our effectiveness, in whatever we do at work, if you neglect those things, if you don't steward them, feed into them, pay attention to them, you're no way going to live in the fullness of their potential. And this is, wow, a real way that we can resist the Holy Spirit by neglect. So there's that challenge of, has God deposited something in you that at a time he awakened it? He showed you a gift, a passion, a destiny, a calling. And then through just life circumstances, whether busyness or defeat or disappointment or persecution, we kind of just put it up on the shelf. And just kind of unintentionally maybe even, just neglected it. That's real for all of us. The battles of life. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take the gifts and passions that God has given you that are going to ultimately look a lot and represent a lot of Jesus to the world and advance his kingdom. The best thing he could do is get you to put it on the shelf. You are no threat if your power is put up on the shelf. So we got to look for those areas. Am I through hurt or bad experience or busyness? Have I just put stuff on the shelf? Because that it's so subtle, right? It sounds so innocent. It sounds so, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not trying to be, against God. So it's just one of those subtle ways of massive resistance. I mean, Timothy's like fully engaged in being this leader of this church. And even he needs that reminder, hey, don't neglect the gift that God's given you through that wonderful prophetic word. Don't forget about it. Steward it well. Keep cultivating it. So to me, that's clear that that can be a very unintentional, if you will, almost innocent at times, especially because a lot of us put it on the shelf because we got hurt. But it's still resistance. And again, God will be very gracious on the journey. In the right time, in the right way, asking those questions, God, is there any way that I am neglecting the Spirit's activity? Is there any way that I'm neglecting the giftedness that you've given me? That I've put it on the shelf and just I'm letting it sit dormant. And once you see that, you're like, oh yeah, of course, that's massive resistance. Not even using it. It's like 100% resistance in a way in that area. We're going to pause here. It's pretty much time to go. I want to have Ryan come up and just lead us in a song that has that simple heart cry of, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how your Spirit has moved, and fill me up more. And I want to give us a couple minutes right here, and then Ryan will lead us in that as a close. But I want to ask you to pray. And so go ahead and let's join me in a prayer. Close your eyes or whatever posture to just you and God. And I want to challenge you to have a bold question with God, which would be, God, would you show me any ways that you want to, that I'm resisting the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's through traditions that have got you in a box. Maybe it's through unintentional neglect, through a hurt or a wound. But I believe, and we'll continue this theme next week, that God is wanting to unleash the power of his presence in us and among us and out into the community. And not in any type of condemning way, but in an excited way. We want to say, God, how can I let you remove those roadblocks? Show me, Lord, those areas that I'm resisting you so that in joy I can join with you and say, God, just remove it. I don't want that resistance anymore. I want to step into a relationship where there's just more of that full connection with you so that your power is on display in me and through me. And so I want us to just have a time with the Lord. But again, this is not in any way so you can beat yourself up. That's not the point. It's more of a, what freedom is God wanting to bring today? So, Lord, is there a resistance in me that's holding me back from the freedom and the power of more of life in your Spirit? Let's take a minute on that right now. God, thank you that your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thank you that your will today is that we, as beloved sons and daughters of yours, would step into more of the freedom for which Christ set us free. We welcome your Holy Spirit to continue to do that, Lord. Move among us. And for those who know that you're speaking to them and they can feel the resistance to the resistance, it's just kind of like, oh, man, this is hard to let go. Lord, we pray a blessing of your Holy Spirit that all of us would be filled with that boldness and that courage to say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to take that courageous step this morning to say, God, I want to live and not put you in a box. I want to be hungry for those ways in which I experience more of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to resist. I want to step into more and more of the fullness of whatever it is that you have for me. Whatever it is that it looks like for the living God, for the Holy Spirit to have his way in me. Whatever that is, and that's a scary unknown, but whatever it is, if it's real and authentic and according to your word and honoring who you are, God, I want it. As we sing this last song, make that the prayer. If there's something you need to just let go, do it. In your own mind, just put that, leave that on the altar of the cross. Put that on the cross. Say, God, you can take care of it. And just receive afresh that boldness to live with the living God moving in you every day in every way. And may that be our lifelong posture for more of you, Lord.
I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will dance a new dance.